Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's program, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, and I have a great guest. So let's get started.
Thank you for that. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, here to introduce a special guest who is joining my son, Dr. Zach Clinton. She's a family friend and ministry partner, the one and only Shonda Pierce. Shonda's been making audiences laugh for decades. She's known as the Queen of Clean, one of the most awarded female comedians in the world. Well, May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and we thought this would be a perfect time to visit with Shonda, not only to discuss her heart for helping others, but also we wanted to discuss what it's like to carry the heavy burden of growing up in brokenness and pain, to carry deep father wounds and depression, and how she overcame it. A conversation that I think just might help someone listening today. Zach sat down with Shonda backstage recently at our Extraordinary Women Beside Stillwater's tour. Shonda, again, has become one of the most beloved voices in Christian entertainment, encouraging women all over the country. She's also featured in the powerful new documentary, He Calls Me Daughter, which explores identity, healing, and the impact of a father's role in our lives. Here's Dr. Zach Clinton with Shonda Pierce.
Shonda, my friend, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Zach. It is so good to be here. And I remember when you weren't Dr. Zach. You're just playing ball out in the grass, you
That's
know,
it.
Found a beautiful woman to marry, you know.
Yes.
It's just, I have watched your family's lives, and you guys are the real deal, a real solid family. The Christianity and the world is so, so lucky to have the Clintons. They really are. And the Association of Counselors, you know, I've been a part of that for so long, but mainly because I've paid a lot of counselors. I'm so privy because I have the inside scoop. If there's a new book or something, I get to have it because I have paid so many counselors.
Well, I hope you know how much we truly love you.
Thank
I know
you
my
so
mom
much.
Cannot wait to see you tonight.
Yeah,
we can't wait
so
to laugh alongside of you tonight. But, you know, Sean, I want to start there.
Yeah.
Like I mentioned, there's thousands of women that are going to be coming in, and a lot of them are coming in with some heavy burdens.
Yes.
And when you get up there, you make people laugh. You break down walls through that gift, mm-hmm. through your honesty, but also through your humor.
Right.
Talk to us about when you prepare for nights like this, what's your prayer?
You know, my biggest prayer is that, one, I want to be funny. You know,
yeah.
nobody
oh, yeah.
wants to bomb in front of thousands of women, you know, because we get a little catty, you know, if we're not getting our money's worth. But my biggest prayer is that you're right, that the comedy is always a tool. Mm. You know, I just kind of came into this through the back door. I worked at a theme park, you know, as a young college kid trying to pay my college bill. Didn't really know what I wanted to be when I grew up. And I met Minnie Pearl. The real Minnie Pearl's name is Sarah Cannon. And that sparked an interest in comedy. And as a holiness preacher's kid, I thought, well, there's no way I could be a comedian. I'll go to hell in a handbasket, you know. And then I found the Lord. And that joy of the Lord became the greatest strength I've ever had. You know, I can't tell you, if I had a dollar for every time I'm introduced with the verse, laughter doeth good like medicine, you know what I mean? And sometimes I always think that's pastor's way of going, this is okay to do now, okay? You know, but I will say this, and it is medicine. And I remember when I was impersonating Minnie Pearl at a theme park, I was away from God, and I didn't know him as a daddy, and I was terrified of him. I was raised in believing that God is waiting any minute, you know, that heaven is overcrowded,
yes.
and God is waiting any minute to kick a few out. So, you know, so you have to walk this tightrope in such a way that it's almost impossible. Mm. When I gave my life to Christ, it came at such a beautiful, organic time that he revealed himself to me as a father so that I could learn to love my earthly father again.
Mm-hmm.
It is almost impossible, I think, to go through this event called forgiveness for all the wrongs done to you in your life without a spiritual component to that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can go to counselors that's going to teach you the 1, 2, 3 steps on how to let something go. Mm-hmm. You can go to counselors that are going to say, you know, here's an activity for you, or a boundary to place. But until you draw the Heavenly Father into that, yes, you do not understand the forgiveness that comes with peace on the other side of it. Wow. And I would argue that with just about any counselor out there, because I tried.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't work without knowing God as a father. And then you can realize all the other wrongs in your life kind of takes a backseat.
Yes, forgiveness is essential. It's the key to be able to experience peace in the midst of life's most chaotic storms and the hardship that we navigate. Right. And you are no stranger to suffering, Shonda.
Yeah.
Right. That's where in your story, what makes it funny is that you can laugh. And I want to go there for a second, because this idea of laughing in the dark.
Yeah.
I was sitting down with a Navy SEAL recently, and he was talking to us about how one of his buddies who was in the SEAL teams with him, but then actually became a psychologist, and he bridges these two worlds together.
Wow.
They did this massive research study across multiple years and across multiple different SEAL teams, and they're studying all these different individuals. What is the most common theme among SEALs? Because everybody wanted to know, like, I want to be more like them, because if we could replicate them, then man, we'd be a very disciplined society. Everybody would probably assume the most common trait was grit, resilience, mental toughness, mental fortitude. It wasn't. It was levity or humor.
Wow.
The ability to make light of the darkness.
Yes.
Speak to us just for a moment of what humor and what comedy has done for you as you've navigated the loss and the pressures and the pains of life.
You know, I feel, I said this the other night, I'm in the middle of a tour right now called Shondapalooza. You know, you keep trying to come up with fun names, you know. After 35 years, you know, I walked out last night on a stage, and the room was full of people who buy a ticket, a hard sale ticket in this culture, in this society. And I am 66 years old, you know, and that still happens. So that's a blessing from God. I think it's also a blessing to know I worked really hard to be funny. Mm. But I do think my reputation is she's going to be really funny, but she's going to use that as a way to a tool to lead us somewhere tonight. And that's always been the MO. Because what I learned when the Lord came into my life to heal me in a way, I learned that a lot of my comedy, and I think you hear of this in comedy clubs all over the world, a lot of my comedy was a deflection. It was a deflection or a degrading or a sarcasm, because there was no peace behind it. There was no joy of the Lord behind it. There was no, you know, relationship with the Heavenly Father behind it. It was that grit and that mental escape. Mm. And I hope that so-and-so hears this, because I'm going to jab it at her tonight, you know. And when the Lord began to soften your heart, you see the what the craft really does and the art of the craft. You know, my job is, if I make it look so easy so you think you can do this, I've done a good job. But it is really a true gift and a craft and an artistry that's been around since the beginning of time. You know, when I always felt like when Jesus said it is easier for it's a harder for a rich man to get into heaven, than it is for a camel to get through the eye of a needle.
Yes.
That, my friend, was comedy and sarcasm for the day.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I just can't wait to sit down and talk to Christ face to face and go, okay, let's do some more zingers. What was the other one? Because I hear this when I hear you say, you know what I mean? And so when healing comes along, God will use anything to get your attention. He will use a country song riding down the road.
Yes, he will.
He will use a beautiful sunset. He will use a relationship that comes into your life and to get your attention. And then he will also allow things that need your attention. And so, you know, people always go, how come your sisters died? Then your parents, you know, divorced. Then your father was abusive. And then your husband's gone. You know?
Yeah.
And if you go through the litany that quick, I do look sad. So we try to spread it out in the comedy. But what the truth of the matter is, everybody that's walking in here tonight, Zach, has a problem or a hurt or a pain. We are in the last days. I really believe that.
I do too.
So what's going on in the world and in the culture, Mothers especially, this room will be filled with women. Yes. Mothers especially are at that identity place that I am trying to do a good job or I messed up and didn't do a good job. Right. My kids are away from the Lord. Or they're coming in with broken hearts and broken marriages and husbands that don't care. Hmm. They're coming in hearing from society what they're supposed to look like and do and be skinny and all that. And so they're already coming in here with a heaviness. Hmm. So that if I can lighten just a little bit of that heaviness so that they will spend the rest of the weekend with an open heart, wow. That is my job. Wow. And that's what I love to get to do.
I love that idea that you can laugh in the dark. Yes. Shauna, you are somebody that spends a lot of time, right, again, encouraging others. You're somebody who helps people just cling to hope in the midst of hardship, in the midst of darkness. I'm just thinking of somebody out there today,
right,
who maybe has experienced a father wound,
right,
who has struggled, who is holding on to maybe some bitterness,
right,
and some anger and some rage. And it's like, man, Shauna, I hear you talking about forgiveness, but I don't really feel like forgiving.
Right.
What are some, beyond counseling, like what is the first step that they can take maybe today to just lay it down, surrender it,
yeah,
and begin to take steps toward healing of that wound?
I think one of the very first steps, you know, we always say, it says it so simple, just pray about it, just pray about it, you know. Yeah. That doesn't work when you're just so broken and hurt and you can't even hardly articulate. So I always say write it down. Or if you can't even write a paragraph that you, because it's so painful, you don't want to look at it, decide today. Today, what is today? Whatever. Say this is March the 4th. You know, on March the 4th in 2026, I decided I'm going to deal with this. Mm. And I've decided I have got to take a step toward forgiveness. And put that date on your refrigerator.
Yes.
And just start there, that on this day I made a decision, because forgiveness doesn't always come with a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
We think we're going to have this beautiful golden light experience and and this miraculous moment. And it does happen, I've heard. But sometimes it's work.
Sometimes it's work.
And you have to remind yourself every day. And so when that pain comes up, or when that anger crops up, or when you find yourself wanting to isolate or hide away, let that date shine in your face that go, no, I personally made the decision, I'm going to deal with this, and I've got to find a way to let this go. And then find someone that can help you do that.
Yes.
It could be, maybe you have a great friend. You know, maybe you have a wonderful pastor. Maybe mm-hmm. it's, you know, an aunt, you know, or a, you know, somebody. But I find it very hard to believe when I hear often when people go, I have no one to talk to. I go, well, now, in this culture, you've got Facebook, you know, you've got help sites, you've got 1-800 numbers, you know, and call the 700 club, you know, call them up, you know, and because I have,
yes,
you know, and you just call them up. They don't have to know who you are, but just, and it's not so much about what they say to you. Mm. It's about you hearing your own voice. And when you begin to do that, there's some unraveling, I think, that happens. You either put in perspective the real pain, or you put in perspective of going, oh, now did it really happen that way? Well, I don't know, but something happened because that hurt me or whatever. Hmm. All that to say, then go watch the news.
Hmm.
Go watch 5 minutes of the news, and you'll say, oh, my life is not that bad. I'm just saying, and I don't mean that to make light of your pain, but there is someone out there walking the road you walked, and they're dying to hear a common voice and a commonality and a community in that.
Yes.
And so stop thinking you're alone in this. Mm. What if, you know, I always say the Bible is filled with our stories, with broken people's stories. I mean, that's what I love about the Bible. Every time you turn a page, there's somebody so broken in that.
Right.
What I love about that is, what if in heaven right now there is a room of scribes and they're writing down Holy Bible Part 2 so that when we get to heaven, we have our new Bible and they hand it to you. And what if your chapter's in there?
Hmm.
What if you were the woman at the well? You know, what if you were the prodigal child?
Wow.
And so what if your story makes the new Bible? And hoorah for that, because you know why those stories are in there? So we will read them. Because God knew we're going to walk some of those roads, because this is a fallen world.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
What I love about what you're sharing is the significance and the need for community.
That's it.
Because I think help would love to get you alone.
Oh, if he can convince you you've got nobody, he's about to win. And that's why suicide rate is so sad and scary.
It is.
Because the devil wants to destroy you. Ultimately, completely destroy you. Don't give him the chance.
No, find the friends for the fire. Go to, like you said, one of the greatest tactics of therapy is the group therapy, the setting of when you surround yourself with people who have walked not the same journey, but similar ones.
Right.
What it begins to do is it normalizes the pain, and it reminds us that we're not alone in this thing that we call life, this crazy fight of life.
Right.
And, you know, Shonda, I kind of want to wrap this thing up. I have just two follow-up questions, but the one that I'm just thinking of is just, if your dad were here today, we call it the open chair technique, and I just think of so many, and just thinking about having seen, though, all the healing that's taken place in your life, having seen what you do on a night-to-night basis where you go out and you spread hope, having seen the forgiveness, having seen the growth, the development, I'm just wondering, if your dad were here today, what is the message that you would want to communicate him right now?
Oh, I believe I would throw my arms around him for sure, and I will in heaven. Mm. You know, his mind was broken in a million pieces, but he loved Jesus. And, you know, there's going to be diabetics in heaven. They don't have it anymore, but they got to heaven because they had diabetes. Yes. You know what I'm saying? So all that to say, I would throw my arms around him, and I would want to go, Dad, what was your story? Mm. You know, I really would like to know. You go back, you know, Ancestry.com doesn't tell you the stories. It'll tell you who you're related to. Yeah. And I would hear stories in the past from cousins and, you know, and uncles and craziness from my dad's family. I think I heard his grandmother committed suicide, you know. I think I would just want to give him an opportunity to tell me, what was your story? Because that would definitely, I think it would be good for him. It would definitely help me with an understanding of going, I knew you had a story. Because by nature, and you knew the word, I knew that there was in you good. But the brokenness would take over from time to time. And in that snap of a moment, your brain chemistry would drop, or you would stop making serotonin, or there was that, you know, that word that somebody miscued New Testament, that you shouldn't take your medicine, and you quit, you know. What was your story that drove all of that there? You know, I'd like to know about your genealogy and give him a chance to be heard. And I think he never was allowed to be heard. He came to know Christ. He went to Bible college. You know, at a young age, he was 19 when I think, or 20 when my brother was born. He became a pastor of a church at a very young age, and the responsibility of that. And he drove it through, not realizing that this mental illness that is just nothing but a disease, like people needing blood pressure medicine or insulin, he needed some meds to help equalize this out, but we were in a culture in the 60s, the 70s, in the church world. Oh, no, you don't talk about that, you know. Mm-hmm. Or that's demon possession, you know.
Yes.
And so I would first of all give him an opportunity to just be heard, you know, that he could, it's okay to tell your story, Dad.
That's right.
I think that's one of the greatest things that the Lord did for me in 35 years of doing this. I tell my story, I keep nothing inside. Every night. Now, you know, in all things in moderation, my grandma used to say. You know, so I tell parts of my story so that I don't hang on to that. Mm. Plus, for 35 years, I haven't had to pay for therapy in a while. I just put it all out there. Yeah, but there is some cathartic thing that happens in that for me. I live free. I live a free, fulfilled, happy life. And I don't know why, really. You know, I'm either really, really crazy, you know, or could be, or my meds are really, really great. But that is, it's knowing that we are part of a bigger plan, and God doesn't waste anything. He will not waste your pain.
Yes.
He will not waste what you walk through. He will not waste any of it. And if we can get the us out of that and be there for the person coming,
yes.
If I can keep me off the, you know, radar and think of you. Mm-hmm. That's the relationship I have with my audience.
That's who our God is.
Yes.
Like, he never wastes a wound.
No.
He's the great repurposer who can take broken things and make them beautiful again.
Praise
I want to close this way, Ms. Shauna, because there might be a dad out there listening today.
Yes.
Who maybe he doesn't have the strongest relationship with his kids, maybe specifically with his daughter. And I'm just thinking, maybe he feels ashamed. Maybe he's like, man, I should have done better. I could be doing better. I don't know what's holding me back. He's disappointed in himself. Maybe he's discouraged with the way that things are. Maybe there's estrangement involved at this point.
Yes.
What's a final word of hope, encouragement, and motivation that you would leave with a dad today about the significance of his presence, especially in his daughter's life?
You know, one, the responsibility of that, I wish they didn't have it, because it's got to be a lot to know. On a flip of a coin, you can change a child's life with pain or hurt or dysfunction. The sweet thing, I think the thing I would tell a father is, but it's never, ever too late.
That's right.
And don't be discouraged if you go to that child and that daughter and you ask for forgiveness and they shut the door.
Yeah.
You know, you just start working on you and you begin to build your relationship with God. And you understand that God is also your father.
Yes.
Because 9 times out of 10 in this culture, they're mimicking behavior because that's the way it was for them. Or they're trying to make a strong kid because this world is so tough. So they're getting information and sometimes the wrong way. Mm. And so be willing to be that sponge of opening the Word of God and find some men that you can talk to.
Wow.
Go to a conference. Hang out with, you know, a pastor.
Yes.
Go find some people that will say, and you and be, just get it out. Say, man, I messed up.
Yes.
I drank too much in front of my kids, and you know, now one of them's an alcoholic, and it's all my fault. Mm. No, it's not. The devil, you know, you're not, the devil's got a little bit to do with that.
Yeah.
But however, just you saying, man, I'm sorry, I messed up. Oh, it's life-changing. Not just for the one who wants to hear it. It's life-changing for you to be willing to say it.
Amen. Yeah. Right. Honesty, vulnerability, get mentored, get discipled, find the right men, friends for the fire who will come alongside of you. And then the greatest form of empathy is inquiry, right? Ask those questions to your kids. Communicate early and often. Do it as much as you can.
Yes.
And remind yourself you don't have to do it alone, because as Dad would always tell me, you're not that good to do it alone, because we weren't created to do it that way. Shauna, my friend, you are such a gift. You're such a blessing again to our family, to this ministry. You mentioned going and being on this comic tour. So I want to ask, where can our audience go to find out more, possibly catch a show? And also tell us a little bit more about who's joining you in that tour.
Oh, it's so fun. Shondapalooza is just a new idea. You know, after 35 years, I'm tired. I want to retire. And they're like, no. And so I've taken some comics out there so I don't have to work so hard, you know, in a 3-hour night. But I have a sweet girl named June Colson, and she's so funny. Her name is Junebug. And she's so funny. She's from Kentucky. Junebug Colson. You can find all of her stuff on Facebook and all of that. And then Heather Land, who became an internet sensation with her I Ain't Doing It, you know. And she's got a strong story, but we laugh. I am enjoying it, but it's a night of so much laughter. And then the great Karen Williams, who's been with me for 14 years on the road. I said this the other night on the stage, you know, I would buy a ticket to this. This is really great.
And you can
get the calendar online at shonda.org, or, you know, just Google Shonda Pierce. You'll find out more than you ever really needed to know.
Then, Shonda, where can our audience go to watch the film and the documentary of He Calls Me Daughter?
You know, it's beginning to stream, so all you have to do is just Google the name, He Calls Me Daughter, and you can stream it on Angel. Angel is a great, if you don't have the Angel app, you should get it. I watch a lot of angel shows and movies. Well, that's safe and they're
that's
good.
Right.
Yeah. But you can get it there. I think eventually it'll be in a DVD form, which I look forward to that. The Bible study that is a companion piece to that was written by my therapist.
Wow.
And she's fabulous. She's clinical director for Branches Counseling Centers. Mm. And she is, you know, an incredible, you know, therapist. But licensed professional counselor. She But she and her husband wrote the curriculum for that Bible study, and it's fabulous. I look forward to when it is available, or you can have a couple of girlfriends over. I think in that intimate setting is where this movie's going to shine.
That's right.
Yeah.
To open up, to have these meaningful conversations where hope and healing can truly be found.
Absolutely.
Shonda, again, I appreciate your advocacy in the mental health space. I appreciate your authenticity, your vulnerability. And man, we just adore you as a family.
You.
So thank you for being here. And I can't not wait to hear you. I can't wait to laugh with you while you're up there on that stage. I know you're going to rock it like you always do. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you. Thank you, Zach.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.